Kind of the couple things that I just wanted to share about just as far as the trip goes. One for me was worshiping with the nations. Can you hit from the beginning slideshow? Thank you, babe. Years ago, many years ago, when I was a young lad, young lass. I've had some changes. Yeah, we have bigger issues. But in an organization called Youth with a Mission, I was really struck. God really impacted me with the nations and really began to impact me with what's called the 1040 window. So within that 1040 window and all those, it doesn't fit perfectly, but all those countries that are in red. So you have Northern Africa, you have the Middle East and Asia, which would be like India and China. Mongolia is up above that. But that is where the most unreached people in the entire world are. In fact, I think 98% of the unreached people in the world are located within those countries. Of course, 2/5 of the population is just China and India, but that helps it a little bit. But God began to work in me with the nations. He began to specifically work in my heart with countries like China, Nepal, and Tibet, with seeing God lifted up in those countries. And what impacted me, I remember we went down, so when we got there Monday night, Tuesday morning, we had an early morning worship and prayer time from 9 to 11. And as I was standing in the back, and it's a guy from India who's in Dubai leading worship. Then you have some of the African nations around us, and you have some of the Asian nations around us. And as I'm sitting there in worship, God just began speaking to me that for 20 years, as I've been praying for these nations, here's the fruit of some of my labor, some of what God has impacted me with, in seeing those nations worshiping God. And conference started Thursday night, and God began to bring the same sense back to me as we began to worship. And we don't know what language it was from Africa. We assumed it was Swahili, but apparently it's not. And we worshiped in Chinese, and we worshiped during the conference in a language from India. I don't remember specifically which one. But it began, there was just this thankfulness and just this, for me, a sense of seeing my prayers be answered, because we had over 50 nations, depending on how you kind of look at it. There was, I think, 38 we counted from the conference, and then the church in Dubai had several more nations. But countries like India, Egypt, Nepal, Nigeria, Pakistan, just China, just to name a few. There was a couple from China that's actually part of New Frontiers planning a church there. There's a couple in Nepal that are actually planning two separate churches, one to the north of, I can't remember the capital city right at this moment, and then one to the south, Kathmandu. Thank you. And so my heart kind of leapt, because I've been praying for Nepal for years, hoping that the gospel would be able to reach. And there's a lot of challenges when it comes to Buddhism when you're sharing the gospel, because there is no frame of reference for God. So you actually have to create a word to be able to explain who God is. And then you have to explain the definition for what that word is so that it doesn't get mixed in with Buddhism. So there's a huge challenge. But it was amazing just to see. It was a huge answer for prayer. That for me, like as far as, you know, the top of the list, the top thing that really impacted me, for me, that was huge. The theme of the conference and the theme of the week that kept being repeated over and over and over was reposition for maximum impact. And you don't have to move it anymore, but that's good. Leave it there. It was reposition for maximum impact. And there were during the conference, there was opportunity where they brought 5 different people from the church in Dubai, and they began to share their testimonies of how God was repositioning them for maximum impact. There was a lady. I'll wait on that one. It was really interesting. There was a guy from India who was born in India, raised up in India, and he couldn't wait. He said, I think he couldn't wait to get out of India. He's like, there's so many people. I want to go and see the world. I want to experience the world. And so he decided he was going to go and become a chef. And it was contemporary, cuisine, so that he could go internationally to any city and be able to get a job and be able to cook continental cuisine. There you go. And be able to cook. And he was in Dubai. He met a young lady. They ended up falling in love. But before that, God began speaking to his heart about going back to India. And his wife, he's now married, she had grown up in Dubai. I believe she was Indian, but she had grown up in Dubai and lived. She was an Emirati. And now going back, they are now going back to India to serve with a local church there, to be part of their team to reaching the city for India. So he was talking about being repositioned for maximum impact. Yeah, he had left one person. It kind of reminded me of Onesimus. I left one person, but I'm coming back another. And so they were able to send him back into India as part of that. The other story, and it kind of ties in with my third point, was there was a lady who, I think she was on staff with the church in Dubai. And she had been praying, God, how can I go? Where should I go? Where are you calling me to? And that was the one thing that kept coming up for me. Well, one of the things I noticed was people constantly looking forward, not just sitting there going, okay, we're part of a church, we're in Dubai, we're part of this family, we're doing great work here, but they're asking to themselves, where do you want me to go? What is your calling for my life? And she'd been praying about this. Well, they're in a staff meeting, and Steve admittedly said, I'm not much of an administrator. Steve Oliver, who is the leader of the church in Dubai, he's also the apostolic oversight, the leader for over our group within New Frontiers. So you have a large group, New Frontiers, and then you have several different leaders who have grown together and gathered churches to themselves to oversee. And one of those guys is Steve Oliver in a smaller group called Regions Beyond, which is growing. But she's on staff with Steve. And during this meeting, and Steve said, I'm not much of an administrator, so most of our administration meetings end up being prayer meetings. And as they're praying, Steve writes something down on a note and walks over and hands it to her. She opened it up, and on it was the name of a city with a bunch of question marks next to it. And she took that home and began to pray about it and asking God, what is it you want to do with this? Is this something for me? Through just divine appointments, through different circumstances, she ended up meeting a church planner in that city, part of New Frontiers, I believe, and is now going to be part of that church plant. She has decided to kind of uproot from Dubai and go there. And so you have people that are going in their church. How can we be positioned for maximum impact? And I think it's a challenge for us. How can we be positioned for maximum impact? Not just for our church as a city, but for people as personally. We should be asking ourselves, how can we be positioned for that? Which kind of tied into the third thing that I kind of took away from the conference, which was Steve hearing God's voice. And it ties in. It's multiple times during the conference. Ray Lowe, as he was sharing, was speaking, and he ended up being that he was sharing more stories and testimonies tied in with what God was speaking to him. And he said he was in, I don't know if it was in Africa or if it was in Dubai or where they were. I think they were on holiday somewhere on vacation. And Steve asked Ray, would you be willing to go out with me on a morning walk? And Ray tells a story that the beginning of the walk, Steve looks at Ray and says, you know, I love you, right? And Ray goes, you know, nothing good can come from a sentence starting out, you know, I love you, right? And he felt God, Steve felt God had given him a word for Ray that was a bit of bringing Ray back in alignment, a correction. And so Steve shared this word with Ray, and he handled it in such a humble way of giving it to him and in love that Ray completely received it. And it had to do with acting more in the gifts and using him back to what, when Steve had first met Ray, he said, "Ray, you walked a lot in this. You've gotten away from that. How come?" And which is bringing Ray back to being more prophetic, being working more in the Spirit, not just being a theologian, but being a person of the Spirit. So that was one of the testimonies. The other one was this girl. You know, Steve's in the middle of a service. He obviously had a relationship with that, with, you know, his staff. He was asking him questions. He was in their life. And then not only was he doing that, but he was asking God, what do you want to say to me that I can impart into them? And so that was kind of what I walked away with, was it challenged me personally to be praying for my family, to be praying for the people around me, to be asking God, can you give me prophetic words? Can you give me something that I can share with them? And so that is just, but it's all built on love, kind of that, the last word that John spoke in the series that we just went through, which is based on love. And kind of what I wrote on the airplane as we were flying home, I said, the prophetic shapes us, molds us, gives us purpose and hope. And that was what I saw, was the prophetic being brought in, handled in submission, handled in love, and it was shaping people, it was molding people, and it was giving them hope.
We did our best to take pictures, and I did a really good job of tapping into the pictures that Donald took. I took some, and then once we got into the conference itself, I got terrible about it because I was caught up in worship and taking notes, and so I apologize that most of the pictures are going to be from Dubai, not from what was happening in the conference, but I will share probably more about what happened. But I want to show you some pictures here at the beginning. This is the meeting before. You can't really see it in here. This is all seats and crazy blue light that was in there, but that was the backdrop of where we had our meetings. Can you go to the next picture? So this is where we were. Whoop. That's where we were, right here in the Persian Gulf, and this is the Arabian Sea, and we actually got to sail out in a little ship out here in the Gulf, which was kind of cool. Let's go on to the next one. This was, we had several days. Our first 3 days there, we got there late on the Monday night, exhausted after a 21-hour trip, and flew in on the same flight as Lee and Stacy Yarbrough, but it was so big, we didn't even know they were on the flight. And so we were getting off, and we're like, hey, we've been on an airplane with you for 7-8 hours, and who knew? And then the next day, after our first prayer meeting, we went to the Mall of the Emirates, where they have a ski resort inside the mall. So there's a little snowman, and there's a chairlift going up here. That it was really weird to be in the middle of the desert and watching people ski down a hill. Okay, keep going. This is from the picture on the left is just a view from our hotel room. And on the right, this is out in front of our hotel, just looking up at some of the buildings in Dubai. This place is developed. They're calling it the hub of the world. None of this existed prior to 1990. So even old Dubai is about 24 years old, unless you want to get back to the little village that started. And now, just while we were there, there were probably 50 skyscrapers under construction and more ground cleared and ready for all of the new construction. I mean, it is staggering, the amount of money, the amount of resource, the amount of building that is going on to welcome in the nations. This is a place that has worked hard to welcome the nations. We felt very welcome. It was amazing. Let's keep going. There you go. That's one small part. This is a little, they call this the Dubai Marina. And all the way around it, I couldn't show you all of it. It looks like this all the way around it. And it's just one little spot in Dubai. There's multiple areas like this. Keep going. This was us suffering for Jesus. It's horrible things you have to do for the gospel sometimes. This ship, they took us out our first night there, all of the delegates for the conference who came in from the nations got to go on a dinner cruise together and be entertained. This guy is doing tradition. He's actually a guy doing traditional dancing. I would have been throwing up. He spun in a circle for 5 minutes. Everything he did, all of the dance moves, everything was while he was spinning in a circle constantly. And he did not throw up while we were on a ship, on a boat. Yeah, it was amazing. Keep going. This is our prayer gatherings in the mornings. So this was in the basement of the hotel. The Crown Plaza is where we had the meetings. And you can't really see probably how many nations are represented here. But our prayer times were full of multiple languages, people leading out that didn't speak English. They would speak South Africa seems to have multiple dialects, and people would lead out in song or praying, and someone would translate. It was fantastic, and a prophetic word came while we were praying that said, here we are gathered in the basement. I mean, it does not look like a basement. It was a fantastic room. But it was, don't despise the basement times in your life. Don't despise the times when you feel like you're hidden. It's in that place often where we're praying and we're being developed and we're growing. You may be studying the word and no one knows what's happening, but you are growing in God. There were multiple scriptures shared and prayers prayed here for the nations. It was fantastic. Let's keep going. This was us just out in the middle of the day in the bright Mideastern sun. I was getting sunburned and taking these little water taxis for next to no money. It was like basically, here's a quarter, give me a ride. And they took us around. Keep going. This is my dad. If you haven't met my dad, he came with us. He pastors a church in Missoula, Montana called the Lion's Den. He's never been out of the U.S., except for driving up into Canada to go fishing and hunting. And that doesn't even count, right? I mean, that's like North Montana. So let's go back there. So my dad's standing next to this guy. He's a curator and a tour guide of the museum. He's an Emirati and just a fantastic guy sharing culturally with us. You'll see to the left there, one of the minarets, there would be calls to prayer regularly, and we'd be out doing our tourist thing, and all of a sudden the call to prayer goes out, all the shops close down, and people are praying. And I thought, wow, they may not be praying to the same God we're praying to. They may be lost, but I really appreciate their passion and their commitment. I very much appreciate it. They were great people. And I would love to see them get saved. So let's keep going. Again, this is my dad being accosted by a shopkeeper in the traditional souks. They call them a souk. It's like a traditional market. And they did manage to sell him that. and Donald hanging out, just looking cool in front of a museum that we were at. I just had to prove that Donald was there with me. Keep going. This is us standing in front of the tallest building in the world. You can go up to the 123rd floor where they have a viewing deck, but it goes on up. I think it's 160-some stories. Kind of ridiculous. There's three hotels in there, multiple apartments, different things. Heavily, heavily guarded. So there it is in the daytime. Here's Donald and I doing. Donald's doing a selfie of me doing a selfie of the Burj Khalifa. Okay, keep going. Keep going. This is the Dubai Mall, outside the Dubai Mall. That's an aquarium. You probably can't see all this, but this is a massive, massive aquarium. And we just got to go see these amazing things in this amazing city. Keep moving. All right, here we come to the conference itself. This is Steve Oliver. You've heard us talking about Steve. Just a humble guy, loves the Lord, loves the nations. And God seems to be raising him up, and he's just saying, man, we're so happy to be partnered with you guys and serving nations with you. And he's got four ladies up here from Clarence, South Africa. He used to lead a church in Clarence, total rural area. And he brought people up from the church and he said, I want you to look out and see all these nations. That church sent him to Dubai to save a dying church, a church that was really struggling. And it really was struggling. Leadership had been a bit oppressive of the people. And the church in Clarence gave Steve up and sent him into Dubai. And he brought people up from that church and said, I want you to look out and see the nations, see all these churches that are being planted around the nations. And he said, this is your reward. It was really, really powerful thing. And then he had them sing. And these ladies can sing. Oh, my goodness. Go check out our Facebook Facebook updates. We posted videos of these ladies singing. It's pretty cool. Let's keep going. When we got into the conference, this is a Nigerian man named Toppi Kolioso. He leads a church now in London, England. A very pretty large church, 1,200, 1,500 people, I think. And Toppi spoke to us, really challenging us as leaders and as people of God about character. But he reminded us, I just underlined one thing that he said. I can't possibly catch you up on everything that happened in this conference. But Toppi said, you need to remember that Jesus doesn't call you Pastor John. Jesus calls you son. And whatever your title is, whatever it is that you think, this is what gives me status, this is what makes me important. No, actually, what makes you important is that Jesus himself has owned you. And he says, he calls you son. He's not calling you by your titles, the way everyone else looks at you. And he said, you need to remember this. We were reminded by an Indian pastor that when we do things for God, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be disappointments. But when that happens, these are opportunities for the miraculous. And he just asked us this question. What is God showing you and what is he leading you to do? Get on it. He just took us to task and said, it's time to take it up in faith. We had specific prophetic words spoken to us for our church that I wanted to share with you. Speaking of not despising small beginnings, a brother came and spoke. I don't even remember what his name was. And he said, there is a time of unveiling coming where many will come to see what God has done and is doing. But that is a future time. For now, just build and build well. And then another guy came up and said, God is giving you guys, Grace Church Spokane, God is giving you a creativity for ministry to the poor. That's kind of fun. Creativity for how to do that. Terry Virgo was there. Some of you will recognize this name. Some of you may not. Terry Virgo founded New Frontiers in the UK. Grew to be over 900 churches around the world in about 60 nations. And then Terry felt to release a whole new generation of leaders, which is why we have Regions Beyond. There's multiple movements happening around the world. Terry was there. I think he's 78 years old now. And he reminded us that God is not fascinated with our great strategies. God is not fascinated with worldly wisdom. He's actually at war with it. And Terry, I am going to actually open the Bible, lest you were wondering, do these guys preach from the Bible here? Yes, we actually do. Terry happened to pick a verse to speak from that is the founding verse for our church here in Spokane. He didn't know that. We didn't know he was going to do that. We travel halfway around the world, and this is what we hear. David departed from there. This is 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. David departed from there on the run from Saul, who was the king who wanted to kill him, escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in their soul gathered to him. And he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. This was the verse that God gave us when we came to Spokane and said, I want you to build this. I want you to ask me to do this. to gather the distressed, gather those that they're not coming with wealth. They're coming in debt. And that can be the debt of sin. That can be, you know, who knows what that looks like. It just looks like people who don't have it all together and people who are bitter in their soul, people who are discontent, people who are frustrated. He said, I want you to ask me for these people. But then Terry went on and reminded us of where that goes. These people become mighty men in God. They help build a nation. And Terry's speaking on this passage, and I'm going, what? I'm halfway around the world. The people have said, this is ridiculous. You don't build a church with broken people. You need to gather a really good core of people who have it all together, and then you reach out to broken people. And I just thought, well, that's not what God told us to do. God told us to ask him for this. Which doesn't that set you free? That you don't have to come and be the perfect, like, we have it all together. We're like the American family with 2.5 children. You know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and here's my sweater vest. You don't have, yeah, please don't. If you like sweater vests, that's fine. Okay. Tracy and I may never wear a sweater vest. Okay, so, but you don't have to come here to Grace Church Spokane as we have it all figured out. God didn't call us to build a church like that. He called us to come as we are, and we went halfway around the world, and we heard Terry, who founded our movement of churches, saying, God's going to build, and he's going to use people like this to do it. It's like, thank you. Donald, I already told you about Ray sharing. So I'm gonna move past that one. I went to a breakout session with Terry Virgo. There were multiple leaders doing a breakout session because of a prophetic word that came earlier this spring, again about being divinely positioned for maximum impact. There was more to it about God raising up for our day and our time Esther's and Daniel's and Joseph's, and no, not Daniel's, Esther's, Joseph's, Peter, and Paul, raising up men and women like this. And so they did a breakout session on Esther, on Joseph, on Peter, and on Paul. And Terry was teaching on Paul, so I went to Paul. And what Terry reminded us of was character and boldness. He went through 1 Thessalonians 2. I would love to just steal it and preach the whole thing. Not today. But he said this to us. The world is waiting for a church that speaks what God speaks. The God factor. Someone who actually represents God and that doesn't just say what culture wants us to say. He addressed things like same-sex marriage. He addressed cultural issues, just saying, we need to say what God is saying, and when the culture changes, we still say what God is saying. And he just really challenged us on that, that when we do that and we stay true to the gospel, we stay true to the word of God, people actually want to hear that. They may say, they just want you to agree, go along with culture, this is what should be done, but that is actually the fastest way to irrelevance as a church, because then you're just like everyone else. If we say what God is saying, and we represent God well, people will listen. We were challenged as leaders to live with vision. He said, if you live with vision, people will come and join you. That's why I wanted to remind you of our founding scripture today, 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. This is how we're building. We're building to the nations, with the nations in mind, right here in Spokane. And I met with a pastor from Burundi while I was there. Some of you were with us at this time last year, and you may remember a video that we shared from a pastor named Evariste, who was getting ready to plant a church in Burundi, a tiny little nation in Africa, the gateway to the Congo. We have multiple Congolese brothers and sisters with us today. This pastor, Evariste, said, hey, you need to understand Africa is no longer the dark continent. Africa is the hidden continent, and we are full of natural resources. It's just been mismanaged. We're full of these things. And he said there are multiple, I mean, just thousands and thousands and thousands of African brothers who have had to flee. And they've gone from their hidden continent, and God's taking them to other places where they can see how to manage resources well, how to do things well. And Everest is he's just a fireball preacher. He's prophesying to me, is just standing here looking in my face. And he said, God's bringing you Africans to equip and to so they can see, and he's going to send them back. He's going to be sending them back to Africa. And I thought, wow, I think I've had that conversation with Thierry of Thierry saying, I want to go back. I want to take the gospel to my people in Africa. And so I was so encouraged and challenged by this guy, Everest. Let's move ahead here. I didn't show you pictures of all the speakers. This is some of our crazy worship times. This is a guy named Sam over here. He's a South African worship leader. And when that man dances, everybody dances. It was so much fun. You can't see it in here. Again, go look at the videos on Facebook of all the moving and the it was so much fun. Keep going. So Friday is Sunday in Dubai. So our Sunday meeting, we tried to show you as best as we could what's going on. There's actually 800 people in this room, and we couldn't get all of it in there. Gathered in the middle of the Middle East, which is supposedly a very difficult place to worship. And here we are, expressive, joyful worship, sanctioned by the government. They're okay with it. And people are gathering. There were people there from Iran. There were people there from Lebanon. There were people there from Turkey. There were people there from nations that they say, this is a very difficult place to get into. They were there with us worshiping, headed back home. They're planting churches in these nations. So if you hear about closed nations, just a reminder, there are no closed nations in God. He's the one who opens doors and no one can shut them. Okay, let's keep moving. Here's me standing next to Sam, the worship leader, Sam. Great guy. We had dinner with he and his wife. Keep going. The Indian family, part of the church in Dubai. Multiple Indian families and Filipino families there. Let's keep going. There we go. This is what we got to go be a part of. Here's the big takeaways for me. I didn't get into all of it. Another guy, while Terry was speaking on 1 Samuel 22... another guy scheduled to speak at the conference is going, no, he's taking my text of what I felt that God told me to come and share at this conference. So we heard it again from another brother who gets up to preach. And it's like we own this verse. If there's verses in the Bible that are important to us, this is a huge one. And we hear it twice, halfway around the world. Just a reminder and a confirmation for us as a church. Guys, we're on the right track. He said this, just focus on making disciples. And he said, don't worry about trying to build a large church. Build large people. He said, if you build large people, God's the one who's responsible for building the church. Build large people. And the rest of it comes. I thought, what a cool deal, and really good for us as Americans to hear. So like Donald, I came away very envisioned for prayer, to being a people gathered to the presence of God, not just gathered to have some cool meetings, not just gathered to make sure that we come and we hear very well-prepared sermons, although I'm not a slacker when it comes to preparing sermons. So I'm not saying we're not going to teach well and we're not going to be true to scripture and we're going to do that, guys. But we're gathering to the presence of God. And I personally was very challenged multiple times. If we're going to be a people that gathers to the presence of God, I have to be a leader who's drawn and who lives in the presence of God. And if I want you guys to be a church that is free in spiritual gifts, then guess what? I need to lead the way in that. So I felt very challenged in that. Came away even more committed to building a multicultural, not just a multinational, multiracial church, but being sure that we are a church that from leadership team and all through, that we're multicultural, we're multinational. Not integration for integration's sake, but kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we're going to keep doing that. This is nothing new. We've already been working toward this. We just were very confirmed in that. I'm going to say one more thing, and we're gonna sing a song and pray for you. In our very first prayer time, we get there Monday night. We're exhausted. We go to bed. We come back 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday to pray for 2 hours. And I thought it's a really good thing that we don't sit to pray, or I would fall over and go back to sleep, you know. But we all gathered to pray, and we're standing.